Amen. Today we're in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. 1 Peter 2, 1 to 3. As we've studied in the previous chapter, we Christians have had the gospel, the truth about salvation and eternal life preached to us, speaking to those that have been saved. The word of God was made alive to us by the Holy Spirit, Peter tells us. And last week we ended in verses 22 to 25. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, its flower fades away, falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And that was the word that was preached to us. We have been born again, given a new start, as we read in verse 23. And we are told to love one another sincerely and purely, not hypocritically, but true love, the fruit of the Spirit. We're to love one another fervently with a pure heart. You see, change comes when a person is born again. And it's the Spirit that needs to rule over us and not the flesh. Let's turn to 1 John. Just turn ahead a little bit to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. We're not to set our affection on the world, because that's temporary. We're to walk in the Spirit and focus on the things of the Spirit and not the flesh. That's how we can keep loving one another. If we get in the flesh and our eyes on the world, that's where division comes. We don't want to love the world and the things in the world. And because of all of this, chapter 2, therefore, we're born again, we have this way we're to live. We have a great future. This life is temporary. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Therefore, because we have been born again, because we're a new creature in Christ, we're to love one another, there are things that should not have a place in our life anymore. No further. And there are things that should be in our life that we should desire. First of all, chapter 1, verse 1, laying aside, that means no longer do this, and verse 2, we should do this, desire certain things. We should lay aside, and that word means put away, get rid of. It was a phrase commonly used for putting off of clothes. It means removing of evil. Put off the old clothes, the dirty clothes. The picture was someone flinging off badly stained or an infected garment. You just go, yuck, I'm getting rid of it. And so he's saying, here's the things you need to put off as a Christian. And you notice in verse 1, it's not a suggestion but a command. We're to break off with, get rid of, as a Christian, these things of the old man, certain things. Break with them. They're not things that bring love, cause division. Don't put them in the closet or keep them hanging around the house. Get rid of them. That's the idea. Put it off. Get rid of them. Lay aside all malice. Wickedness is what it means. See, God is our Father, and we want to live godly. Malice means moral evil in all its forms. It's a word used for evil and wickedness, evil toward another person. We're to get rid of all malice. We read in verse 22, a fervent love out of a pure heart. Malice is just the opposite. You hate. You have wicked thoughts, evil thoughts toward another person. You even wish harm on another person. Then we're to put away all deceit or guile is the word, deceit or guile. It means being cunning or crafty, being dishonest, cheating, lying, dishonesty. You know, it's tax time. It's going to start. You don't want to cheat. You don't want to be deceitful. The intent is to get the better of another person by deceit. You want to benefit yourself through deceit. You know, the idea is like bait for a fish. You know, we deceive fish, don't we? We put some bait or a lure out into the water. We're really deceiving them, aren't we? We're saying, hey, here's something good to eat. And that's the idea. And we get the better of them through our lures and our bait. And where do they end up? In our stomach. We deceive them. We use deceit. We're not to be that way toward others. Then it says, put away, lay aside hypocrisy. I think we know what hypocrisy is. The face is different than the heart. The outward appearance is different than what's inside. It's a counterfeit. Portraying someone that you really aren't. We're not to do that. Conceal real motives is a hypocrite. It was a play actor pretending to be someone he is not. You know how you can get so caught up with actors when they're good actors? You really believe what they're saying and doing, don't you? And then when you see them off screen, you say, wow, they're not really like that. They were so nice. They're a hypocrite. That was an actor. Someone they're not for deceitful purposes. One can be faking Christianity. Maybe look good on the outside, but not a real loving Christian, not serving the Lord. You see, God sees the heart, the real you and me. We don't want to be hypocrites. We're not out to impress other people. We're out to impress God. We're not out to impress Christians or the pastor or friends. We're out to impress God. No need to be a hypocrite. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24, verse 14. When they're going into the promised land, Joshua 24, 14, he says, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, hey, if you don't want to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, it's best for a person to be what they really are, not to fake it. Joshua says, hey, go ahead, serve those other things. Go ahead, serve the world if that's what you want to do. But me, I'm going to serve the Lord. And so when you love the Lord and you're born again, you want to serve the Lord. And then back to our text, so we put away hypocrisy. And then we're to lay aside envy. Anyone here ever been envious? Envy means jealousy of another. Envy is a killer. doesn't it create ill feelings toward another? Remember, the focus on this, he just talked about loving one another with a pure heart. If you're envious, you are not going to be loving toward that other person. You might be a hypocrite when you talk to them and put on your good face, but you know in your heart, when they leave, you're going to be envious of them. We don't want to do that. Jealousy of another, it creates ill feelings. It divides. Put it away. Here was a definition of it. Envy is the feeling of displeasure produced by witnessing or hearing of the advantage or prosperity of others. Isn't that what it is? It's the feeling of display. It doesn't even have to be an angry feeling. It's the feeling of displeasure by witnessing or hearing of the advantage or prosperity of others. Like in your heart, you just, oh, why not me, God? We're to put that off. We need to be conscious of these things so that we repent of them, not just live with it. That's why Peter's saying, lay it aside, put it away, burn those old clothes. Pray that God will remove that from you. You know, the Bible says, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. Instead of rejoicing over the blessing of others, a person gets jealous of them, envious, because they're self-centered. And you look at all these things and they show that you really don't love. Because of envy and jealousy, I can actually start throwing daggers at another person and put them down. And I become miserable. Proverbs 14, verse 30. Proverbs 14, verse 30. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Doesn't it make you miserable? It's rottenness to the bones. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 1 and 2. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Many times a person can get envious of another person and they're not even a Christian, and you say, wow, how come they're doing all right and I'm not? Look what they have in life, and I don't have anything. Don't be envious, because their end is going to be, they're going to be cut down. Look at verse 9 to 11. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, he will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. One day you're going to look and they're gone. And they're not going to be with you in heaven. We don't ever, ever want to be envious of others that don't have the Lord, no matter how well they have it. Wow. Just remember where they're going and where you're going. Be thankful you're going to heaven. We just sang that song. One day, all of this will be gone. We're going to see the Lord. What a wonderful day that will be when we all see Jesus. Won't that be wonderful? Back to our text. Put away, last thing here, evil speaking. Speaking evil, malicious gossiping, talking behind others' back, backbiting, slander. Talk that puts down another. Injurious speech. And it's usually to put yourself above another. Evil speaking is usually because you want to make yourself better than that other person that you want to put down. Want to make them look bad. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. We need to be careful of what we say as Christians. And that's why Peter is putting these lives in order. It's very easy for us to disagree with people, and it's also easy for us to put down people we disagree with, isn't it? That's not peacemaking. We need to watch what we say and think before we speak. Is this going to cause division or peace? We're the peacemakers. We don't want to be causing division. God hates that. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. We want to pray for peace and not harm other people. You know, we want to make sure that whatever we say is bringing peace. We don't want to be divisive. The whole idea of this is to love one another. Now we get what we are to do. That's what we're not to do, what we're to put off, the actions of a true believer. Verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. As a born-again believer, it doesn't mean you're a new Christian or an old Christian or a baby Christian. He's comparing us to newborn babes, all of us as Christians. As a newborn babe, we're to desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We're to desire the milk, the word of God. Why? So we can grow as a Christian. You know, we need to get rid of the sin, the vices. We need to cleanse our heart and let the love flow for others and God. And the word of God is where we learn how to do that and where we learn how to live. When I became a Christian, I started reading the Bible and I realized, wow, I got to stop doing a lot of things. And I got to start doing other things. So we should be in the word of God, so that we know how to live and keep reminded of it through the Lord, through the Holy Spirit. See, we learn how to live and we learn how to love by getting to know God and His Word. The longer I live, the more I realize how much God loves me. He's forgiving, faithful, always there. Gracious, merciful, kind. You know, everything he does has a reason. And when you get into the Word of God, you realize that. The Word cleanses us. It convicts us. It refreshes us. It restores us. What he's saying here, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, we should thirst and desire and crave the Word of God as a baby craves the milk. As a newborn baby, you know, they come out hungry. And not too long after they come into this world, they want to eat. And so they get the milk. And milk is necessary. It comes out of the womb looking for milk, either from the mom or from the bottle, but they're looking to eat. We Christians, that's what he's trying to tell them, we should desire to feed and to grow and to feast on that milk. And the milk is the Word of God. You see? No matter what age. And you notice in verse 2, he says, desire the pure milk of the Word. The pure milk of the Word. That's important. God's Word is pure. And His Word promotes growth. We grow by it. You know, a Christian grows and matures through reading and studying and applying the Word of God. Many times, you know, because we talk a lot with people, and we're out there every day doing what we do, and you run across, you know, Christians that really aren't in a Bible-teaching church a lot. They're in denominational churches raised that way, not in the Word of God. And you start sharing with them, and it's amazing what they don't know. And you assume everybody knows what you know when we're in a Bible-teaching church. And it's amazing they don't know a lot because they haven't been fed. And I feel sorry for them because you miss out on the encouragement of the Lord, the Word of God. We only grow by studying the Word of God. It draws us close to the Lord. You know, that's how I grew as a Christian. And that's how I keep growing, through the Word of God. Thank God for most of us in this church love the Word of God. It's wonderful. You know, if someone can take it or leave it, the Word of God, they are not going to progress. It's just like food. They're not going to progress. They need to know how precious and important the Word of God is. Food is essential for Christian growth. And our food is the Word of God. We never want to get tired of it. If you are, pray that God would put this heart in you, a desire for the pure milk of the Word. It's the only way you're going to know God's will for your life. Physically, people take growth hormones, steroids, drinks, different kinds of drinks, certain vitamins, so they can grow physically. And Timothy says, hey, bodily exercise profits little, but the Word of God is good for now and for the hereafter. It's good to exercise. Bodily exercise does profit, but it can only profit you here. You're not going to take all your drinks and pills and everything with you to heaven. You're going to be built up now to be with the Lord. Isn't it amazing how people put more emphasis on the physical than the spiritual? You know, when we analyze ourselves and look in the mirror, like James says, we can go away pretty sad sometime. When we look into the Word of God and say, wow, I got to do that. I'm not doing that. But don't walk away and forget. If God speaks to you tonight, start growing. Start growing. Every time you reach for a growth hormone, a drink, or certain vitamins or things, reach for the Word of God. And you know, people take these things religiously, regularly, but it's temporary. We should at least do our part spiritually and desire to be spiritually fit. We want God to say, boy, that guy is buffed spiritually. That guy over there is a wimp. And to the world, he might be Charles Atlas. We should do our part spiritually. We should want to grow spiritually. Stop feeding, and you're not going to grow. Stop reading the Bible. Stop going to Bible study, and a person will remain a Christian infant, not really know his plan for your life. There is an attack on the Bible today, the Word of God. Not taught in many places, or a lot of places, even in some churches, don't bring their Bibles or study the Bible. That's a shame. What did Jesus say when he was tempted in the wilderness each time? What did he say? He said, man does not live by, he quoted the Bible. And he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. That's what Jesus said. I think we ought to pay attention if Jesus said it. You don't live by bread alone. You live by every word of God. You see, it's a shame people aren't more interested in the Word of God. Read Psalm 119. It's a big chapter if you want to know all about the Word of God. We went over that once, over many Sundays. Let's turn to Psalm 119. I think we've got a couple hours. Let's go through it, Psalm 119. Anybody here got to be home in a couple hours? Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Maybe tonight you're looking for direction. You don't know which way to turn or what to do. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In the word, God will tell you what to do, or he'll tell you to be in the word and seek him out. He might tell you to pray. He might tell you to stand still. He might tell you a lot of things, but it'll all be in the Word of God. People choose to say, no, I like Twinkies. Well, if you eat Twinkies all your life, you're not going to be physically fit. You notice in verse 2, he says, desire the pure milk of the Word. The pure milk of the Word. Maybe you don't like milk. You know, many don't. Many young boys and girls don't like milk. So they add syrup or chocolate or other sweet ingredients to the milk. Why? So it'll be more palatable. I want chocolate milk. I want milk with this in it. More palatable for me. Easier to drink. So they changed the milk to be more desirable. You see the point here? Desire the pure milk. He says desire the pure milk of the Word. That's what many are doing with the Word of God. They're adding chocolate to it or some syrup. I want people to come in where it's more palatable. Hey, I'm going there for that chocolate milk this morning. Or whatever it is, a sweetener. Maybe, you know, one of the ice blendeds. Non-fat decaf mocha ice blended. Enlarged, and we're going to split it with cream on it. I had my stuff for the day. It's desirable. It's good. And that's what's happening to the Word of God. I don't think it's a... I know God put this in here for a reason. Desire the pure milk of the Word. He knew people would change it or make it more palatable. We need to discern, wait, that's not quite right. I want the pure milk of the Word. I want it straight, just like it is. You know, otherwise it becomes what one likes and it's not pure. So we're to desire the pure Word that you may grow spiritually by it, so that you may grow thereby. See, babies get hungry and cry and scream until they're fed. That's the way he's saying we should be. No, I want the Word. I want the Word. I know if we ever go someplace or hear someone speaking or go to another church, and sometimes, you know, they'll have the Bible, not even open it up, or just start sharing something or a topic or a story. You're sitting there the whole time. Please. I don't know about you, but I get hungry. Please share the Word. Please share the Word. Please get into the Word. And you desire it. And that's the way we should be. We want the Word of God. You know, you'll grow close to God if you get into the pure milk of the Word. In verse 3. And if indeed you have tasted, you're going to find that the Lord is gracious. You're going to find out about God. And you're going to find he's gracious. The Lord is gracious. You get to know God. As we take him at his word, we will desire more. And the more we will find out about God, and we'll find out that God is good. And his word is pure. Let's turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 8. I love Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Taste and see. Got to taste this. Get into it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed is the man who trusts in him. One must taste and see for himself. A person has to personally get into it. Taste and see that God is good, and you're going to find out in the Bible. Let's close with part of Psalm 119 here. Let's go to Psalm 119, verse 97. Psalm 19, 190, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Isn't that wonderful? How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. God, we thank you for your word tonight. We pray that we would have a hunger and thirst for you and your word. We pray, Lord, that as we read it, we would understand it and grow by it. Thank you for encouraging us tonight. Help us to put off the things we shouldn't have and to put on that desire for you and your word. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.